This is Encounter on VOA. Here's Carol Castillo.
Welcome to Encounter on the Voice of America. On this edition of the program, what is behind the talk of banning TikTok in the United States? This social media platform for short-form video content is used by approximately 150 million people in America. Why is the Biden administration threatening to ban the popular app unless it is sold? Well, the simple reason is that TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, is a Chinese company based in Beijing. The U.S. government views the counterintelligence and economic espionage efforts emanating from the government of China and the Chinese Communist Party as grave threats to the economic well-being and democratic values of the United States. Hello again. I'm Carol Castiel. Analysts say that while its ties to the Chinese government may be unique to TikTok, the social media's data harvesting practices are not unique to the industry. The Sufan Center Policy Group says, quote, links between TikTok and the Chinese government had bred fear among several U.S. government entities that the app could be used for surveillance, censorship, or influence campaigns. The heads of numerous U.S. national security agencies, from the FBI to the CIA, told the Senate that they believe the app poses a national security threat, unquote. The Biden administration has already banned the use of TikTok on all U.S. government devices. At a recent congressional hearing, TikTok's CEO, Shaozi Xu, a Singapore national, faced tough questions as U.S. lawmakers attacked his company's alleged ties to the Chinese Communist Party, or CCP, and consequent risks to American users and security. The chair of the House Subcommittee on Energy and Commerce, Republican Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers from Washington State, alleges that TikTok is a weapon of the CCP. As for the alternative of selling the app, hours before the hearing, China's Commerce Ministry announced its opposition to the sale of TikTok. Well, for more on the pros and cons of banning TikTok, we turn to two experts. David Green is the Civil Liberties Director at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is the leading nonprofit organization defending civil liberties in the digital world. And Ellie Rostum, she is a political scientist and lecturer at Johns Hopkins University with more than a decade of experience in both the private and governmental sectors. She is a former U.S. intelligence officer who has served bipartisan administrations. And both panelists join me via Microsoft Teams. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Carol.
David Green with the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Let me start with you. Let's start with that hearing on Capitol Hill. Some people say it was a bit of a circus. The TikTok CEO didn't really acquit himself very well. But other analysts say some lawmakers were equally inartful. Some accused him, that is the CEO, of having ties to the CCP, Chinese Communist Party. He's, of course, from Singapore. He denied the allegation. Nonetheless, what would you say were the main takeaways? And why is the Biden administration, like the Trump administration before it, proposing that the app be sold or banned?
So my main takeaways from the hearing, I guess I do a very concerning takeaway and then maybe a more hopeful one. The concerning one is that there seemed to be an assumption that TikTok posed a special threat, but not a whole lot of proof that was publicly offered that it did. And I think we learned later that there was no security briefing given to the members before the hearing. The thing that I found a bit hopeful was that several members of Congress did acknowledge that this is a problem that really extends beyond TikTok and is probably best addressed by comprehensive data privacy regulation instead of a measure that would just be against TikTok. So something that would really address data flows of U.S. users' online information to foreign governments more broadly instead of just how it specifically may happen between TikTok and China.
Turning to you, Ellie Rostum, for your take on the outcome of this hearing on Capitol Hill last week and whether or not you believe the Biden administration, similar to the Trump administration before it, is proposing that the app be sold or banned.
One thing that the hearing has made very clear is that TikTok itself is no longer arguing that there is no threat to the data of millions of Americans using TikTok. And in effect, that sort of underscores what the intelligence community in the United United States, the Biden administration, and CFIUS have indicated. TikTok is no longer arguing that there is no threat for that data to be accessible to the Chinese government. So in a way, that effectively means that this supposed hype is actually real. TikTok does constitute a national security threat. And I think if you look at the Chinese legislation that was passed in 2015, the national security law and the 2017 national intelligence law, they both mandate and codify in law that Chinese companies have an obligation and a responsibility and that they can be compelled to advance national security and foreign policy goals of the state. So the argument here is that TikTok is owned by Biden, the Chinese company. But I think one of the key takeaways for me from the hearing is that the sort of debate over unauthorized data access is no longer the case. I think TikTok has sort of like conceded that point. So for me, that was one of the key takeaways from the hearing. And I think it's also quite notable to have both sides of the Hill, Capitol Hill, as well as CFIUS, which since 1975 has been this sort of very mysterious and sexy interagency body that nobody knows what they're doing or how they do it. And so for the administration, CFIUS and the Hill to come out sort of in a unified voice here is very telling.
And could you just define or translate CFIUS for us, for our audience?
Yes, CFIUS is the Committee of Foreign Investment in the United States. And they were created in 1975. And their role is to investigate and make a recommendation to the president on any foreign direct investment transactions that could touch national security in the U.S. So historically, they have been a very dormant organization, but their work picked up a little bit in the 80s when we were a little bit concerned about semiconductors. There was a very famous case involving a Japanese company. In the early 80s and the late 70s, the concern for CFIUS was really on OPEC money in the United States. So that really was the initial impetus for why we came up with CFIUS. And more recently, in the last decade or so, with this proliferation of Chinese foreign direct investment around the world, including in the United States, so CFIUS's work has focused a little bit more on Chinese transactions. But the important thing to note is that the work of CFIUS is classified. So we don't even know how they do their national security reviews. That work is highly classified.
Let me turn back to David Green. David, you mentioned that you feel that this country should be engaged in passing comprehensive data privacy regulations. But let's just step back and see where TikTok falls in this spectrum with regard to national security. Do you think the fact that its parent company is Chinese, ByteDance, and that China is seen as one of our greatest threats, does that change just about everything in your view? Does it render TikTok qualitatively more dangerous, let's say, than Facebook, Twitter, and other platforms that often spew disinformation? We saw Facebook during 2016 U.S. elections infiltrated by Russian actors on behalf of one of the candidates. You know, there's hate speech. What is your take?
So I first want to say that I listened to the whole hearing. I did not hear Mr. Xu say, you know, concede that they give information to the Chinese government. He denied that all the time. What he said was they have engineers in China who they have to have provide access with in order for them to do their work. Again, I have no idea whether that's true or not, but he did deny every time when they asked if they were sending user data to China or if China had requested that information. I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about data flows, and maybe TikTok does present a special threat. I don't know. I don't have access to classified national security information. My point is that any restriction that the government does place on TikTok is going to have to satisfy First Amendment scrutiny. And in so doing, the government's going to have to prove that this is a real problem and that its restriction it imposes, whether that's a forced sale or some other type of restriction, is appropriately narrow to address that problem. What I think will be insufficient are just blanket statements that this presents an extraordinary threat. The reason why comprehensive data privacy is so important, if we really are concerned about Chinese access to user data, is because user data is brokered on open markets currently, and there's no restriction on how companies in the U.S. can collect, retain, or then sell that data. You could ban TikTok all you want, but you're not denying the Chinese government access to user data unless you are restricting the data flows to data brokers who sell it to foreign governments. So when we talk about the need for comprehensive data privacy legislation, we're not ignoring the fact that foreign adversaries may be getting U.S. data and that may pose threats. We're saying that doing this by forcing the sale of TikTok or otherwise cutting off access, that one route the Chinese government might get access to data does not adequately address the problem and raises the suspicion that the U.S. is responding to something else. And that's one of the things where the First Amendment analysis really gets into.
And that something else would be?
Whether it's just wanting to make a political statement against China, whether it doesn't like the way. I mean, the other point that came up, if there's a fear that U.S. people are reading Chinese propaganda or getting propaganda served to them, we know that that's not a valid basis for the U.S. government to respond. The Supreme Court decided a case in 1965 that upheld the rights of Americans to receive foreign propaganda. In that case, it was communist propaganda. So if there is a national security concern, they're going to need to articulate and actually do something that's going to address it, not be so under-inclusive that it will cast doubt on the government's motivations.
Ellie Rostam, I'd like you to respond to what David Green said with respect to singling out TikTok, the fact that, you know, the government of China would still have access to third-party brokers for data information. And to the extent, you know, this is a lot of politics, which is not to minimize the threat that China's system poses and perhaps TikTok in particular. But do you see some grandstanding here by both parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, vilifying TikTok because of its Chinese affiliation without sufficient data that shows that it indeed poses a particular national security threat compared to the other social media platforms?
In principle, I agree with David. I'm not a disinformation expert. However, from a national security perspective, what makes TikTok an especially interesting case is two things. One, it's the sheer scale of its penetration into the U.S. market. I mean, more than half of the U.S. population are using TikTok. So that makes it especially important. So before, in 2016, there was a forced sale of a dating app called Grindr that caters to the LGBTQ community. CFIUS investigated that. It was a forced divestiture. And that was a far less market share than half the U.S. population. So that's the first point. The second point is we cannot realistically expect in a public hearing to have proof that TikTok is giving data to the Chinese government. If such thing exists, it would be highly classified and will stay within the IC. So I think that's a little bit of an unfair criticism. On the issue of data brokers, of course, I think that issue exists and it's not unique to TikTok. However, what is unique to TikTok and to any Chinese app or company is that we have two pieces of Chinese legislation in the 2017 National Intelligence Law and the 2015 National Security Law that have dedicated articles that codify in law and mandate that Chinese companies support foreign policy and national security goals of the state if they are asked to. So if you're putting the burden on the American intelligence community to come out and say, here, we have proof, you know, obviously, I think that is not realistic. But what we do have is Chinese legislation that allows that. I will, however, say that companies like TikTok are stuck between a rock and a hard place because on one hand, the CEO of TikTok is running a company. On the other hand, he does have ByteDance to answer to if asked by the Chinese government for that data. So I think, yes, the CEO has denied it, but he also said that about the engineers sitting there. And I can also quote you Article 7, 12, Article 14, Article 17, and Article 24 of the 2017 National Intelligence Law that allows for the government to do that, as well as Article 43, 46, 52, 77, 78, and 79 of the 2015 National Security Law. So one of the reasons why my research looks at the incorporation of firms, so I study who owns firms, is precisely to be able to assess these sort of national security vulnerabilities that come from either state ownership or in this case, when it's a private company, where there is legislation that allows for the state to take advantage of that. This TikTok case is exemplifying the theory of economic statecraft, when a state can use a private entity or a company to serve national security, foreign policy goals of the state.
Thank you, Ellie. Let me turn back to David. David, let's turn now to obstacles to potentially banning the app. Talk about the so-called Berman amendments and the moral argument that could prevent banning it as easily as some lawmakers say we should.
Before I do that, just to respond to Ellie's last point, I completely understand that the Chinese government, the laws they have and why we should be concerned about that, as well as why should we be concerned about China's human rights record broadly. It just seems that if there's comprehensive data privacy legislation that would govern how TikTok in the U.S. could collect, retain user data, that would be a really effective way of preventing that information from getting to the Chinese government. So that's why we say comprehensive data privacy will address this problem. Actually, I think in a more effective way than trying to restrict TikTok in other ways. But getting to your point, yes, the Berman amendments are amendments that actually exempt from the CFIUS process and from the other authority the executive branch has for foreign information materials. And it was on the basis of the Berman amendments that the Trump executive orders that were issued in 2019 that banned TikTok and WeChat were struck down as unlawful, that these are foreign information materials and that the government does not have the ability to ban those. And the Berman amendments are really important. The Berman amendments were really a statement, recognition by the U.S. government of the human rights significance of the free flow of information around the world and how what a fundamental democratic principle the free flow of information was, and really as a statement to the rest of the world that we are not the type of country that is afraid to have foreign information enter into our country. That's what makes us a democratic society and a free society, and that's why it's so important, and that's why it's really concerning when we see efforts to try and carve out from the Berman amendments to allow there to be specific action against TikTok or others. And I do want to say that this has in the past given the U.S. really important moral high ground from a human rights perspective. It's very common for the U.S. government to criticize other governments when they ban technologies. One example, in June of 2021, the United States State Department condemned Nigeria's ongoing suspension of Twitter. So this is something that is really important. It really undermines the U.S.'s role in promoting democracy around the world.
Ellie Rostom, I'd like you to respond to that same question and to David's comments about the obstacles and potential risks of banning the app.
I think that one of the reasons why this TikTok case is going to be precedent setting and will inspire legislation, et cetera, regardless of what CFIUS does, is simply because this is not the first time this has happened. I think what makes TikTok interesting and precedent setting is simply the sheer scale and its penetration into the U.S. market. That's why the national security argument is so strong here. We're talking about half of the U.S. population. The United States is the largest market for TikTok. There are other apps that are, you know, owned by Chinese companies or straight up Chinese companies that are used in the U.S., but we're not banning those. The distinguishing factor here is the sheer scale and penetration of TikTok. And I think that's what strengthens the national security argument. Is it discriminatory? I mean, I would probably say yes, of course. It singles out a single country. We're not banning German apps or French apps. But the German law and French law does not have provisions that would compel and mandate that a company share data of Americans. And so, yes, as a U.S. citizen, I echo a lot of what David is saying. But I think as a former intelligence analyst and as somebody who studies and cares deeply about, you know, national security issues, I'll have to say that a ban here would be appropriate or a forced sale. But it sounds like TikTok does not want to go down that route.
We'll take a short break. We'll be right back. You are listening to Encounter on the Voice of America. Our guests are David Green, the Civil Liberties Director at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and Ellie Rostom, a political scientist and lecturer at Johns Hopkins University. We are discussing the concerns surrounding the popular social media app TikTok. This is a reminder that our Encounter podcast is available on most of your favorite podcast apps. You may also download the show at voaafrica.com/encounter. You may also follow us on Twitter at @Carol_Castiel or connect with us on Facebook at Current Affairs with Carol Castiel. Well, here's a shout out to a loyal listener who took the time to send an old-fashioned email. Jeffrey Chukwun Weekend from Ute Okpu, Delta State, in the great nation of Nigeria. If you want to hear your name and home country on the air, please send an email to encounter@voanews.com or like us and leave a comment on our Facebook page. Well, back to our program about TikTok. So let me now turn to David Green. So short of a for sale and a banning of this app, what about Project Texas? Explain what that is, and is that a way to mitigate the perceived national security risks regarding TikTok?
Yeah, and I'm by no means an expert on Project Texas. Essentially, TikTok is saying that it's going to have all of its servers with its data reside in Texas. Those will be secured and walled off, and no one else can get access to them. And so that data would not even flow back to the parent company, ByteDance. It would remain with the American company, TikTok, on U.S. soil. I think there's also arrangement for some outside monitoring by Oracle to make sure that this was a tight and secure system. I don't know enough about it. That's what TikTok offered to Cepheus as an alternative to a for sale. And my understanding is that Cepheus rejected that.
How about you, Ellie? What's your take quickly on this so-called Project Texas as a third way, so to speak?
The only thing I would add to the description that David gave there is that I believe TikTok also said that they will nominate a board to oversee it, and then Cepheus will review the board. Politicians, not CEOs, define politics. And so I think here we have a company and a CEO trying to solve a problem. The heart of it is actually a geopolitical problem. So I think basically Project Texas is just an attempt to address the issue that the Chinese legislations pose. So, I mean, yes, it's a bandage, but it doesn't really solve the problem long term.
And David Green, as we close, given the fact that there's quite a bit of public backlash, there's 150 million users, as we said, here in the United States, that's half the population. Many say that they've used TikTok as a major way to get their small businesses going, and they're up in arms. And then there's a more cynical angle whereby Mark Zuckerberg, the Meta CEO, pushing for the banning of TikTok because that gives him a larger field to expand his social media empire, which is another story. But what do you think the fallout of this might be? And do you still stand by the fact that a larger, more comprehensive data privacy legislation is really the way to go?
I really hope the fallout is momentum towards comprehensive data privacy regulation. That might be Pollyanna-ish of me, but I really hope that's where it leads us, that when we have productive discussions like this, when we recognize that there are national security risks, both with TikTok and with general data flows, that it leads us in a place of comprehensive data privacy regulation. And I really hope that we don't go down a place of fear-driven regulation instead.
So turning to you, Ellie, for the last word.
The key issues here that are left for us are, one, could we really force a divestiture? TikTok has clearly stated that that's not their preferred option, but that has worked in the past. This is the first time we have a situation where the company is really fighting back against a forced divestiture where you don't want to sell. In that case, you don't really have too many options other than going through a legislative option, which would be the ban. I think the ban will have important ramifications for people who make their living on TikTok, for instance. But I think it's very telling that the Biden administration has come out so strong and has taken an arguably risky stand in explicitly backing a ban when President Biden is looking at a re-election campaign next year. Banning TikTok could have a significant impact for Biden's chances, particularly with millennials and Gen Z, etc. So I think that's a really courageous stance on the Biden administration side to come out so strongly in favor. I'd like to end with three things. One, I think this debate, however way it ends up, the heart of this debacle is really the issue of data access and data transfer. I'll echo what David was saying in that I hope it ends up in legislation or regulation on privacy, but I think ultimately this is an issue that needs to be solved multilaterally through a global effort. But unfortunately, that's really a decade in the making. For now, bans work because they buy us time, but they're not ultimately the solution. I think the second thing that's important to keep in mind is that policymakers and politicians, not CEOs, define politics and geopolitics. And what we are seeing here through the issue of TikTok is really a Washington-Beijing play that is being played out around this issue of TikTok. So that's very important to keep in mind. And this sort of feeds into my third point. As we look at critical and emerging technologies around AI, data analytics, genomics, biotech, etc., increasingly, the players are not necessarily governments and states, but they are companies. They are firms. Some of them are state-owned. Some of them are private. Some of them are subsidiaries. Some of them are private equity firms. Some of them are investment, sovereign wealth funds, etc. And suddenly, we have this new player that's just as important as a state, as a government. And so that's the idea of economic statecraft. Like, how are governments and states using these firms for geopolitics? geopolitical moves. And I think TikTok evidences this theory of economic statecraft very well. So I will certainly be watching to see what TikTok decides to do and what The Hill decides to do.
And on that note, I'm afraid that's all the time we have on this special TikTok edition of Encounter. I can assure you we will be following the controversy over TikTok in the weeks and months ahead. I would like to thank my guests, David Green, the Civil Liberties Director at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and Eli Rostum, a political scientist and lecturer at Johns Hopkins University. Encounter was produced in Washington with technical assistance from Rick Pantaleo. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another edition of Encounter on The Voice of America.